One of the most intriguing phrases in the Siddur is the pronouncement we just declared, Anu matirim lihispalel im ha'avaryanim. We permit davening with sinners. In all probability, it's based on the Gemara in Krisos that tells us that any tainus, any fast day that doesn't have among them Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of the Jewish people, ain't a tainus, it's not a real fast. Because after all, it tells us the Gemara, one of the spices, one of the 11 spices that was in the Ketores was chelbana. Chelbana on its own smells putrid, smells terrible. Nevertheless, the Torah included it in the list of spices. So too, even if there's somebody who has the stench of sin in them, they should participate in our fasts. But why is this special formulation of matirim mentioned only on Yom Kippur? If all year long we are not matir, lihispalim ha'avaryanim, because either it's wrong, maybe if it's detrimental, then why today are we yes matir? Simple suggestion is often by the Beis Yisrael. Says that after all, what was the avodah? What was the unique special avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? It was the avodah of the Ketores specifically. And therefore, in that Ketores, of course, was the Chelbana, so too on Yom Kippur, uniquely on Yom Kippur, because the avodah of the day is with Ketores, we carry that message of the Ketores to invite the smelly Avaryonim to our midst. But I think the point is much deeper and carries a pivotal message that can elevate this Yom Kippur for each and every one of us here. When a cadet lines up at graduation, he is entrusted a rifle. As Yom Kippur commences, Hashem reaches down and delicately places in our hand an extremely powerful instrument. Not just the ability to do teshuva, but the capacity to achieve tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love. Gemara in Yoma, Daf Pei Vav, asks a contradiction in Shukim, because there's one pasuk that says that the greatness of tshuva is that it can take sins and erase them as though they were done as they were mistakes. Yet another pasuk indicates that when a person does tshuva for their sins, those sins turn into mitzvos. How could that be? The Gemara answers, there's no problem, lo kashi kan mi'ahava kan mi'ira. When a person comes back to Hashem, does tshuva mi'ira, then their averes were turned into mistakes. If, however, a person is able to elevate themselves and perform tshuva mi'ahava, then those same averos are turned into mitzvos. Imagine turning around a year of carelessness, of laziness, of gluttony, of brazen arrogance, maybe even naughty filth, to be considered not only a big year-long mistake, but a year of accomplishment, of achievement. How is that possible? What is tshuva me'ava? Most importantly, how can each of us take advantage of the next 24 hours to reach that rarefied achievement and transform the story of our sullied past into sparkling zechus? Did you ever hear of our mitzvah boy finish his speech and say thank you to all of my family and friends who came all the way from Brooklyn or from Kew Garden Hills? No. Just those who traveled far. My cousins who drove in from Cleveland, Bobby from Eretz Israel, and most of all, of course, our great aunt Tanta Fago, who traveled 26 hours on a connecting flight from Australia. Hold that thought, please. What's the difference between Ahava and Yira? Well, Tshuva Me'ira is returning to Hashem because we feel compelled. We feel nervous. There's a lot at stake. The Mishnah in Va'avos writes, V'hei mora shamayim aleichem. The fear of shamayim should be upon you. Asks the Maharal in Avos, why does it say mora of heaven? Why does it say mora of makom, mora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fear of God? Why do we say the fear of heaven? Why is the word associated with fear always heaven? Answers the Maharal that whenever you use the word yira or mora, we always say yiras not Hashem, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not HaBorah. We say Yira Shamayim. Because serving Hashem with Yira is to recognize that there's a distance, that He's in the heavens, we're over here. Yira denotes distance. And that's why whenever we speak about Yira, we speak about Hashem, not as Hashem, but as Shamayim, to denote that distance, says the Maharal. And therefore, Tshuva Miyira is mending our relationship with Hashem by cultivating a sense of awe and a healthy distance. But, says the Maharal, in Asivas Olam, Tshuva Me'ava comes from a totally different motivation. It emanates from a desire to come close, a desire for dveikus. Like the Pasuk tells us, La'avas Hashem al-kacha, ul'dav kabo. Ava comes from dveikus, for a desire to come close. And listen carefully. The further away one begins, the greater the trip, the greater the gap that needs to be crossed, the more coming towards Hashem that occurs. If you start here and you have to get here, that means there's all this coming closer to Hashem that is happening. Typically, closest to Hashem is generated by mitzvos. But here, that coming to Hashem is generated by tshuva me'ahava. In the same way, points out the Maharal, that the Medrash says that the one who comes the greatest distance to the Jewish people is the ger. What's our response to the ger? Ahavtem es hager. Because the greater the distance, the greater the demonstration and ahava. Therefore, l'hispalel im ha'avaryonim. You know why? Because it's the avaryonim that are coming the longest distance. They're coming all the way from Australia, kivyachol, into Hashem's arm. And therefore, their coming to shul represents the greatest opportunity for closeness on this Yom Kippur. Shuv me'ava. We all want it. We all crave it. What does it mean? Little girl, Olga, family just came from the Soviet Union to Eretz Yisrael. Parents aren't religious, but they decide to enroll their daughter, 9-year-old Olga, into one of the outreach schools. Has good academics, one of the Shuvu schools. And they're off Rosh Hashanah, the second week of school. And the mother realizes it's the day from school. She calls her friends and they arrange a nice day at the beach on Rosh Hashanah morning, since all the kids are off. Olga tells us, I just started school in Ashdod and I was enraptured by all that I had been taught. I was craving that connection to Hashem that the holy day of Rosh Hashanah had to offer. I was anticipating the sound of the shofar and wanted so badly to be in the Beit HaKnesset praying. But I had no choice but to go along to the beach. I sat on my towel and I leafed through the siddur that I hid into my bag. Suddenly I remembered what we learned about the custom of Tashlich. With excitement, I found a quiet area and I said the tefillah of Tashlich with all the passion that a 9-year-old could muster. In the years that followed, I babysat for months to earn enough money to buy a seat in shul for Yamim Noraim. There's a little bit of Olga in each of us. There's no agenda, not a desire to stave off punishment, to get a good year. Just a childish, innate ratzon to come closer to our Borei Olam. But through what mechanism does this transformation from chet to zechus transform? The Nesivos HaMishpat says something very interesting. He says it's a little bit mathematical. You see, tshuva is a mitzvah saseh. Aside from being a mitzvah saseh, Hashem also in His mercy had invested tshuva with the capacity to provide kapara. But not only that. Hashem's chesed, Hashem's rachmim, is far beyond that and allows that through tshuva me'ahava, the chet is erased entirely. As though history was rewritten. And therefore, what's left? No chet ever happened. What's left? The only thing that's left is my ma'isa mitzvah, my positive mitzvah of having done tshuva. That's what it means, says in the Nesivos HaMishpat, that our averos turn into mitzvos. It means that our averos are no longer here, and therefore we're just left with the mitzvah, our mitzvah of tshuva. According to that understanding, the sins themselves don't transform into mitzvahs, they just disappear. The mitzvah's tshuva remains standing tall afterwards. But Chasam Sofer is not satisfied with that explanation. Chasam Sofer says something much more powerful. Says the Chasam Sofer, when one of us performs tshuva me'ava, he or she stands in din in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our neshama comes in before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the varm of our body come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and testify that on Sunday afternoon at 6:30 p.m., February 5th, we were learning in the Beis Medrash. And Tuesday night, April 12th, we were in the hospital visiting a sick neighbor of ours. All of a sudden, there's a ruckus outside. The Yitzhahara is coming, running into the courtroom, saying, "Your Honor, Your Honor, how could that be? I object, I object. Imanu hayithem bioploni. How could they be saying that? They were with us," says the Yitzhahara, "the person, that body, that neshama was with us. You know where we were February 5th? We were sitting on our couch, watching a ball game. Maybe watching some other things. Enjoying a beer. On April 12th, you were not in any hospital. You were sitting at your desk, fudging some numbers on your tax return, while you're on the phone speaking with Lashon Hara." And what happens? The court listens to both sides, and after doing Tshuva Me'ava, rules like this revisionist history. Yes, after Tshuva Me'ava, February 5th is no longer the date of the Super Bowl. February 5th is the date of a Siyum. April 12th is no longer 3 days before tax returns. April 12th, the day of a Bikur Cholim. Could we imagine that? Rabosai, instead of grasping for straws, for Tshuva Me'ira, let's reach for the stars. Let's transform the lowest moments of this past year, our most shameful hours, to be viewed as our proudest occasions. And the power of that transformation is in our hands. Tonight and tomorrow, we are malachim. And with the instrument of tshuva that we are being handed, we can create some revisionist history. We could change our past failings into victories, our shortfalls into windfalls. And by the time the sun sets tomorrow evening, there need not be any of our yanim left to permit joining us in shul. And with that, the future, our future, is open. It's unscripted. Over the next 25 hours, as we choose tshuva, as we rewrite history and they rewrite the script, we rewrite history, and thereby we rewrite the script. I don't know if you remember, last Yom Kippur, I asked you, I think at Ne'ilah, to daven for a couple, a student of mine, daven for them. They're struggling with infertility for years, and they so desperately wanted to have a baby. That's what I asked you last Yom Kippur. I think it might have been right before Ne'ilah. The power of our tshuva, the power of our tefillah, is very real. It's very real. Because thanks to your tefillos, last Yom HaKippurim, they had a beautiful baby girl 3.5 weeks ago. We now have a great zechus to bathe ourselves in the waters of Kapara. In closeness to Hashem, rinsing of layer after layer of our dirtiness so we could sparkle. May Hashem grant each of us Gemar Chasima Tova, a year of bracha, a year of parnachsa, a year of happiness, a year of success, a year that we come closer from any distance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.